screen in the parking lot at Chick-fil-A. Is this correct?
Yep. Yes.
And they showed the movie God Is Not Dead in the Phillipsburg parking lot. People were sitting in chairs. Is that right, Ms. Shannon? Is that really happening?
It's going to be one in the next 4 weeks.
Wow, that is cool. That's just a cool thing. It's nice to know we're not the only ones out here slugging away. We're not the only ones serving God, not the only ones trying to come up with, you know, a way to reach the lost. I thought it was very cool when I saw that happen. And I thought I saw it on Facebook, and a couple more people I think were there. So that was really encouraging to see. Now would be a great time for you to get out your Bibles and to get out your outlines as we study tonight. We're taking a break we're not going to do Revelation tonight. I have that all ready for the next time we meet next week. We'll continue Revelation. But tonight I had something else on my heart that I wanted to talk to you about. And I have been keeping my eye on the weather the last few days because Hurricane Hermine has been doing serious damage right down in the Gulf States and Florida. And I wanted to be sure that we knew what we need to be looking out for here and making the proper preparations for it. So Thursday, that's the last I heard, they started predicting that really the worst of the storm would move out to the sea kind of south of us, but that we needed to be ready and we needed to anticipate high winds. They said that they would probably be issuing a wind warning in our area, and that we should be ready for what damage winds can bring about. Well, that got me thinking. It got me thinking about how destructive and how deceiving winds can be. I mean, after all, you think about it, winds are only air, right? And it's just air that's moving around, and in fact, you can't even see it. It's invisible. Well, I started thinking about people that I know who we've seen the results and the effects of winds that have blown their lives. People I've known in the past and people I know now, and how each of them really have gotten kind of blown off track, and how they've been swept away from their hunger for God, and how they've been ravaged by winds that were invisible to them, but the results and the effects are very clear. So put together kind of a little sermonette here tonight called Wind Warning. Because I believe that these invisible winds may just be the most dangerous thing that our faith comes up against. And it brought me to the passage in Matthew 13 where Jesus kind of issues a wind warning. I like to think of it that way. In Matthew 13, chapter 3, Jesus is going to tell a story. And it's a parable. Now, a parable is a earthly story that has a spiritual or heavenly meaning. So this is an illustration that he's going to tell. He starts in Matthew 13, starting with verse 3. He goes, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. Okay, so he's telling this story. But I wanted to stop just 1 second here because did you catch the first word Jesus says? He says, listen. He says, listen, with an exclamation point in my Bible, Jesus is going to give really a wind warning. And it's a wind warning for our lives. And he wants us to listen to him. And this wind warning is telling us that something is definitely going to happen. And that you and I and everyone are in the danger zone. So he says, so listen up. Kind of like that alert tone that you get on our phones. I don't know how they got to all of our phones, but they can get to them now, right? Big Brother can do it. Well, Jesus can do it even more. And he's saying, listen up. Now, this wind warning that Jesus is going to tell us is about way more than losing a piece of siding on your house. This wind warning that Jesus is going to give us is about something way more important than your deck furniture blowing around. And it's about something way more important than we think of with the wind warnings we get. This is about our life. This wind warning that God is going to give us is about our security. It's about our happiness, our functionality. It's about your success at just being a God follower. Jesus says, listen, I'm going to issue a wind warning. and it's coming. So be mindful of it. Jesus began with, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. Now again, I'm telling you, this is a parable, and it's a story that Jesus is using an earthly story for a heavenly meaning. What he means here, this farmer that's sowing seeds, this is a picture of God. It's God offering and extending this offer of his salvation. God is sowing this to the world. This is what I'm offering you. He's sowing the seeds of salvation, of forgiveness of sins, an offer of guidance. Jesus is giving us, he says, God is making this offer, sowing these seeds, that he will be your guide. He will be your Lord. This is the lordship of your life that God is offering. That's the seed that's being planted in this story. It's really our relationship with God that he's offering. It's our faith in him, our followership of God. It's the whole package. It's our connection with God, our rootedness with God. And that's the seed that God is planting. So in Matthew 13, verse 4, Jesus goes on to say, as God scattered the seeds across the field, as God offered this to the world, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it up. Took away the offer, took it out of, away from them. That's really the first of four groups that Jesus is going to talk about. We're going to categorize these people as Jesus did. Now, in this first wind warning, is about a wind that can blow us off track and knock us away from our hunger for God. Jesus says, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them. Now, in this category that he's talking about, it's where people hear about God's love. They come to church and their eyes get wide because they recognize the truth of God's word. We've all been there. These people, they're lifted by the hope that they hear in God's plan. And they are drawn to the idea of faith, having faith and trust in someone who has control of this crazy world we live in. And that this one who has all that ability offers us understanding. He offers us acceptance. And he offers us rescue. But Jesus says there's a wind that blows this hope, blows this optimism, blows it right out of these people's lives. And that wind, I like to label as this. This is the wind of the voices of this world. I have that on your outline for you. This is the wind of the voices of this world. Now these voices in the world, they will hit you like 90 mile per hour hurricane winds. And these winds that come at you and hit you, and they can't wait to do damage on you, they'll say things like this. There may be a God, but he wouldn't want someone who's done what you've done. There may be a God, but you don't qualify to be in that set. That's what the winds of the world will say. But there's other things that it whispers too. Gusts that come at us and say, if you do this, if you accept this offer of God, if you take salvation from him and have your sins forgiven and try to live for him, if you do this, you're going to be a laughing stock and everyone will ostracize you. And the winds of this world will blow at us and squalls will hit you in the face and they'll hit you in the heart and they'll hit you anywhere they can. And say, if you embrace God, you have to give up all the fun. You have to give up all the pleasure that this world has to offer. That's what the winds, the voices of this world, will do when they hit you. The winds of the voices of this world are strong winds, gang. But the key to understanding firm when these winds hit us is to know this. All that the voices of this world say, all that they say, are lies. No matter what you've done, and I mean anything, God says, come to me. God stands in front of you with arms wide open, no matter what you've done, and he says, come, Welcome home. You see, the wind that blows the lie that everyone will ostracize you, everyone, if you do this, everyone will ostracize you. Well, that's a lie. In fact, no one here will ostracize you. No one here at all will. In fact, you're going to gain the family of God. And God will make you co-heir with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. As for the wind blowing in your ear telling you that you're going to miss out on the pleasures of this world, well, if hangovers, if addictions, if heartache, if depression, and if fear are the pleasures this world has to offer, then yeah, you will lose those. The wind of the lies of this world are strong. But Jesus says, listen up. This is going to happen, and these winds will blow people's faith away. And they will blow people's relationship with God away. So Jesus is telling this parable, saying, I'm issuing a wind warning. Watch out for the winds of the voices of this world. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He moves on in verse 5. He says, other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. He says the seeds sprouted quickly, and the soil was shallow. But the plants soon withered. They withered under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. You see, gang, the second group of people who hear God's offer of rescue, who hear God's offer of relationship, well, this second group, these are God followers who have accepted the gift that God has for them, but they're short-term followers. They're kind of flash-in-the-pan obedient Christians. These people, Jesus highlights, are blown away by a different wind. The wind that gets them is the wind of strife. You have that on your outline? The winds of strife. Jesus had proclaimed emphatically that God followers, each and every one of us, we are going to have trouble in our lives. There's no doubt about it. You're going to have trouble in your lives. In fact, the initial joy and the euphoria that we feel at the moment of enlightenment and that day we get saved, well, gang, Jesus made it clear it will be followed in the days to come with challenge. You will be challenged. And you're going to have difficulty. We will all have it. We all have to deal with tough people. We all have to deal with tough circumstances. It's going to happen. We will all have it. We will all go through it. Gang, the winds of strife, they're not trivial. These are not silly things. They certainly can be scary as well. Maybe as a follower of Jesus Christ, you'll lose your job. I know people who that's happened to. Maybe as a follower of Jesus Christ, your health will decline. We all know people like that. As a follower of Jesus Christ, maybe you're going to lose loved ones' relationships. Jesus here, when he talks about the winds of strife, he's not talking about getting a flat tire. He's talking about winds and scorching dry spells in our lives that shake us to the core. But Jesus wants you to know this. In John 16:33, he said, I have told you this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, because I have conquered the world. So tonight, to those being buffeted by the winds of strife, I would leave you with this one question. Why would you rather go through trials without God when you can go through trials with God? I mean, what better resource can you have than the God who has conquered the world and overcome every battle? Like I said, these winds that hit us, they're invisible. We don't see the wins, but we see the results and the effects that they have on people. These invisible wins trip people up. But as for us, we need to pay close attention to weather reports like this that Jesus sends our way and give these close attention, knowing that these are not just weather reports for where we live. These are spiritual weather reports for our lives. Okay, we've seen two groups of people. We've seen two wind warnings. Let's look at group number three in the last wind warning found in verse 7. Jesus says, other seeds fell among thorns. Thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants that God was growing. Gang, this group is the one that I have seen the most God followers fall prey to. These God followers, they don't have their relationship with God robbed from them by some worldly voices shouting lies at them. Nor do they have strife jumping on their backs, weighing them down. These God followers trade in their hunger for God to hunger for something else. And this hunger will out-prioritize their hunger and their need for God. Gang, these hungers can be anything. Anything from the lure of love to the lure of earning a trophy. I'm going to label this wind the wind of want. The wind of want. Jesus says God followers will have their hunger for God choked out by other things that they want. And things that they think they need will choke out their hunger for God. They'll hunger the other things more. Cares of this world, things they have to take care of, the hunger to get that taken care of, to get control of your life, will take over more than your hunger for God. Desires of the heart. Emotions have strong pulls on us. We all want to be loved. But that desire, that hunger to be loved, cannot supersede your hunger for Jesus Christ and His kingdom and what He wants for us. There are hungers like the lazy apathy in our run for the race of the kingdom. We can actually hunger to be lazy and to do nothing. We have all, gang, we have all, me too, we've all felt the wind of want. We've all felt that I want to stay home. I'm too tired for God. That's the wind of want. I want love in my life. It doesn't matter if the person doesn't know God. It doesn't matter if the person doesn't want purity or if they shouldn't even be dating. The wind of want. The wind of want can be, I want to be comfortable. I want to be satisfied. I want to be rich. I want to be fulfilled. I want to be loved. I want to be secure. Jesus said, these are the seeds. These are the seeds that fell among the thorns of want. Thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plant that God was growing, His God follower. Jesus addressed the wind of want in His Sermon on the Mount when He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. The wind of want, these deceiving winds that come at us, the wind of want takes this command of Jesus's and it blows it around so it turns upside down. And it says, seek all the things you want, seek all the things you want, and then after all that, then add the kingdom of God to it. Seek ye first what you want, put God last. Jesus is saying, I'm issuing a wind warning. Look out for the wind of want. And then there's a fourth group. We get to a fourth group here in verse 8. It says, still other seed fell on fertile soil. And they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Friends, these are the ones who have diligently listened and have observed all of Jesus' wind warnings. They probably had every one of these winds hit them. When the wind of the lies of the voices of this world hit them, they fought through them. They fought through them with the truth of God's word. Storm abated. These God followers in group four were hit by the winds of strife. We've all been promised to be hit by the winds of strife. But when they did, they ran to Jesus. When those storms hit, they pressed their face into Jesus' chest and they hung on for dear life. While unbeknownst to them, as their eyes were closed and they were buried in Jesus' chest, Jesus was holding them tight with one arm, but he lifted his other arm to the storm and he ordered that storm back. This fourth group very forcefully felt the winds of one. We all do. This fourth group felt the force of the winds of want hammering at their hearts, hammering at their souls, and hammering at their minds. But this group remembered. They remembered where their life to the full could be found. They remembered who had rescued them from their sin. And they remembered that whatever they hungered for, while they hungered for it, they decided to hunger for it while sitting at God's table, dining with Him first and foremost. Those things aren't wrong that we want, not all of them, but Jesus doesn't want us to want them more than Him. Jesus has and is still issuing wind warnings, gang. Wind warnings for our Christian lives. He closes in verse 9, this whole parable, he closes with this, just to be sure that he's getting through to the right people. Here's who he's talking to. Jesus closes with this. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and should understand. I think we all qualify for this group. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back and lead us forward as we talk to God about this. Talk to God and say, hey, Lord, where am I at? Where are you putting me in this parable, Jesus? Where would I qualify?